It is an honor and privilege to be with you this morning. My name is Tim Hopper. I am the youth and young adult pastor, and I get the opportunity to speak with you this morning. This weekend, we have been focused with our students in our youth ministry on discipleship. We had a big event this weekend called Ignite. And this weekend, we were able to spend time with our students, challenging them in discipleship and helping them to grow and walk and grow in their walk with Christ. And it was a great opportunity for us to spend time with them this weekend. We challenged them through the Word of God. We challenged them in prayer and scripture reading and in all sorts of ways to help them to grow in their faith and in their walk. And so it was an incredible weekend. We had a good number of students here. We got to do that, and then we also got to eat and have fun and hang out. And we also did some mission projects. One of the mission projects that we did was we got to go to some houses and rake some leaves for some people in our community. And then we finished out the evening by going to a trampoline place in Franklin, Tennessee, and jumping and having a good time. And so we had a great weekend. A lot of students were a part of this, and a lot of good things were talked about in the discipleship process. And so with that in mind, I came this morning with that same thought for us this morning: discipleship. Being a disciple of Jesus and growing in our walk with Christ. And so because of that, I want us to look at a particular passage in Scripture. If you've got your Bibles, I want to encourage you to take them and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is where we're going to do our study this morning in the Word of God. So Peter, in this passage of Scripture, is talking to us about being a disciple and growing in our faith. As a matter of fact, through the entire book of 2 Peter, the word knowledge is repeated multiple times. Peter uses that word knowledge over and over again to describe, to talk about in our growing and our walk for Christ and being a disciple. Now, disciple, what exactly is a disciple? In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the Scripture gives us the Great Commission. It tells us, go and make converts, right? It says, go and make Christians. No, it says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So we're make disciples, and we're to teach them the Word of God. And so we are called to make disciples, and we are all to be disciples of Jesus, and we're all to be about growing in our faith and our walk with Christ. And so Peter, in this book here, in the book of 2 Peter, is writing a letter to his audience, encouraging them and reminding them to grow in the knowledge of Christ. And I know our focus verses are going to be in chapter 1, but just for a moment, I want to read to you from chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, because I think this really wraps up all of Peter's mindset about what he's going to be talking about in this book. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, dear friends, since you know this in advance, be on your guard so that you are not led away by the error of lawless people and fall from your own stable position." Verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord." And that's how he closes out the book. And so this book was written, or this letter was written to his audience to remind them and encourage them to grow in the knowledge of Christ, to grow in their faith. And if I can just kind of quickly summarize the whole book of 2 Peter, he goes through this passage of explaining what it is that how we need to grow, what we've been given to grow. He talks about the dangers of not growing. He starts talking about, in some chapters, about false teachings and false teachers that have risen, giving false messages and false hopes. And then he goes on to finish the chapter in the final books of this letter, talking about being on guard and then pursuing growth in the knowledge of Christ. And it's an incredible book. And if you have time, I mean, it's not very long, I'd encourage you to take this book and read it and study it, because there's a lot of good stuff in it. We just don't have that much time to this morning to do that. So for the sake of our time, our focus is going to be on chapter 1. And we're going to be starting in the verses 3 and following, and this is where we're going to focus our time this morning. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, this is what the Word of God says. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with the goodness, and goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be richly provided for you. Join me in prayer this morning. Lord, we come here this morning, and we just humbly ask that you would teach us through your word, the truths of your scripture, these precious promises. Lord, we just ask that you would just direct the words and the truths of this message to penetrate our heart. God, I pray that you would attack our rebellion and our sinfulness. God, if there's any error in our life, I pray that we would come to be aware of it this morning and acknowledge it and repent of it. God, we pray that as we study these truths, that you would just help us to understand the importance of growing in our faith. Help us to see the danger that comes if we do not grow. God, encourage us by your word this morning so that we may leave this place having been in your presence, having tasted and seen the goodness of your truths. And may we apply it to our lives so that we may leave changed this morning as a result of being in your presence and in your truth. So, Lord, we give you this time, this now. So, Lord, teach us. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to look at this passage, and we're just going to walk through it, and we're going to learn from Peter's teaching. Peter has a lot to teach us about this morning, about growing in our faith and in our walk. And we're just going to start in the very beginning in verse number 3. So looking back at our scriptures, this is what Peter begins with. When it comes to growing in our faith, when it becomes to us being a disciple and in the discipleship process, he tells us that his divine power, that's God, his divine power, has given us everything that we need or that is required for life and godliness. Everything that we need to know in life, everything that we need to do in life has been given to us. God has already provided it for us. Everything that we need to know in order to live a good, godly life, God has supplied it to us. He didn't just leave us alone to figure it out by ourselves. He didn't just save us and say, okay, hope you can do it. No, God has given us everything we need. He didn't just give us some of the things we need and we'll hopefully fumble through it. He gave us everything we need. Everything that we need has been given to us freely by God so that we can know how to grow in our walk, to be discipled, to be a good disciple of Christ, and to do what he has called us to do. In the Bible here, it tells us exactly what it is that it is that he has given us. If you look back in verse 3 again, it says, continuing on, that is required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. God has given us the knowledge of Jesus Christ. No, that not only did he give us the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but in verse 5, he tells us, no, sorry, verse 4, he says, by these he's given us very great and precious promises. So he's given us Jesus Christ, the message and the gospel and the knowledge of Jesus, but he's also given us precious promises. And what I'm talking about here is the precious promises and the knowledge of Christ. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is everything that we need in order to accomplish what we need to do in order to live that good and godly life. God's Word is the center of all that we need. It is important that we realize that this is the most important thing. It is not this plus other things. This is all we need. I know this is basic. This is simple Christianity, one-on-one, the Word of God. But it is how we build a firm foundation. It's how we live. It's how we grow and establish. And Peter is reminding us to get back to that simple, basic truth that it's the Word of God. Now, I've got something that I want to share with you this morning. I know I may lose half of you, but that's okay. Maybe you can follow along with me. I got a football here. And back in 1961, there was a team, the Green Bay Packers, a football team, that had recently lost its championship game. And they came to the training, getting ready for the new season, expecting to come in and learn new techniques or new plays or new ways that they can advance their performance in order for them to do better this next season. And so coming in there into the training camp, the coach, Vince Lombardi, comes in. And he comes in, and as they're sitting down, he takes this and he raises it up and he says this most famous quote, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And then he goes on to teach the most basic steps of football, learning how to catch, to throw, to block, to do all the basic things that they are supposed to have learned from the very beginning. He taught the most fundamental facts and the most fundamental truths of football, and he started there from the very beginning. And they did that, learning it all over again. Well, that next season, the Green Bay Packers not only were able to go to the championship game, they blew out the New York Giants in a 37-0 win and won the championship game. And from that point on, every year, Vince Lombardi would come in, "This is a football." And he would start with the basics again, because that's how they learn to win the game. It's the most basics. Well, church, this morning, I want to share with you our football. This is our football. This is the Word of God. God has given us his Word so that we can know him, that we can know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. He has given us his Word so that we may know him, that we may know that we live in a broken and a fallen world, that we have sinned against him. And he has given us his Word so that we know how to live a life that pleases God, that honors God, and live a life for God. This is the basics of the Christian life. We must have the Word of God in order to live that life. This is our football. This is the thing that really matters. And we've got to get back to the basics of reading and studying and learning from the Word of God. That's how we grow. It's all about the Word of God. And Peter was reminding his audience that we must get back to the fundamentals of the Scriptures to learn and grow in our faith. That the Word of God is the most important thing. Now, I know we live in a very busy world around us today. I know that life around us is very chaotic. Matter of fact, I get it. I live in a family of 7. I have 5 children, from children to youth, who are constantly on the go. We have school activities. We have sports. A couple of my older girls, they work. Me and my wife work. We are on the go all the time. Life is very busy. And it gets really hard to find time just as a family to come and sit down at supper table together and just be together and to actually talk about our day. It gets really difficult. Life is really busy. And so when we start talking about spiritual things, it can get challenging as well. And I'll be honest, I'm not always the most perfect at that. I try to do my best. I try to set that habit and that time every day aside. But even I find myself in a world that's always against us. But it is essential for us as a disciple of Christ to be in the Word of God. We must be in His Word because His Word is what's going to change us and grow us. It's all about our part of growing in the Word of God. We must do our part to grow. We've got to find time to do that because God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. God's Word, we must hide it in our heart so that we may not sin against Him. We can't just brush this off. We have to prioritize this. This is the most important thing in our life, not only for you, but for your entire family. It is important for you to raise your children up in the Word and to find that time to do that as a family together. I know life is busy, but if you can just take time every day, it will change your life. One of the things I challenge my students with is if they're real busy, I give them some tools. I give them opportunities to make life a little bit easier. I get them these little cards here. These are little keychain cards with memory verses on them. And I'll hand these out to my students who want them, and they'll take them, and they can take this and put them in their pocket or in their purse. And that way, during their day, when they're out and about, maybe when they're riding the bus or when they're driving to school or sports or wherever they're going, they can pull this out and they can actually take it and start reading God's Word on the go. And you can do the same. This is not hard. This is not something that's rocket science. You can actually go online and find memory verses. You can put them on cards or whatever and take them with you. These verses are small. I mean, these are some good words to encourage them by. And so like this one says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." That's 2 Corinthians 12:9. And these are scripture verses that they can take with them on the go in the business of life. And I know that's simple and small, but hey, it's getting them in a practice of starting to learn and read and study the Word of God. And maybe you could take 10 minutes. I know that life is busy, but if you could take 10 minutes in the morning and you could get in your Bible and open it up and just start reading, you'll discover some truths and you'll discover things in there and God will start growing you. And I know that seems small and you're like, "Tim, that's just not a lot of time." Well, my hope and desire is if I can just get you in it, number one, if you can just start doing 10 minutes a day, that's 10 minutes more than what you were doing. And I believe so much in the Word of God that even just in the little bits of sections of that, of getting it into you, that number one, your heart for the Word of God is going to grow. And you're going to see that you can spend a whole lot more than just 10 minutes in it. But also, I know that the Word of God is so powerful that if I can just start getting into you in the little amounts, it's going to make an impact in your life. You know, the Bible says that it's alive, it's active, it's powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's a matter of fact, in Romans 12, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." When you start renewing your mind, when you start listening to the Word of God and allowing that God to impact your mind and your thoughts, it's going to transform you. See, I believe in the power of God. And I believe that if I can get you to start doing it on a small scale, your love for God and His Word is going to grow. Your life's going to be impacted and changed. And you're going to start seeing life and growth in you. And so we've got to get back to the essentials of God's Word being the most important thing in our life. And we start taking it in and taking that responsibility of reading and studying the Word of God. Which leads to what Peter says in the next part here. He goes into verse 5 and he says, "For this very reason, because we have the Word of God, because it's essential for our growth, because He's given us everything that we need to grow, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith." Supplement your faith. Now, some translations you may have out there may say supply. Some translations may say add. The actual word in the original language, the definition of it is this: to furnish or to provide at one's own expense. In other words, there's a responsibility on your part to do something, to act. So supplement, supply, or add to your faith. Now, when we hear that word, add to your faith, that may actually be a red flag for some of us. Some of us may be in this room, and we're like, we grew up in church our whole life, and we heard that it is by faith alone. Matter of fact, we may know the scripture verses in Ephesians chapter 2 that says that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. and this not of ourselves, for it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. And so when we come to this particular passage, we may be a little confused. Is this a contradiction in God's word? Is Peter saying something that the rest of the word of God is not? Well, Peter is not saying that we need to add to our faith for salvation. That is not what he's talking about. What he is saying instead is that because of your faith, do your part in the growing process. You see, God has given us his word, and God has given us his Holy Spirit that lives in us. And he is working in us and through us all the time to lead us and to help us to grow. But we have a responsibility as Christians, as disciples, to do our part as well. We must take that opportunity to grow and to focus on our growth in Christ. And so Peter here explains that we must have that responsibility in the growing process. And then he talks about these different attributes or character traits in which we need to grow in. So let's take a minute and look at those different attributes, those character traits that Peter lists here. So starting in verse 5, he says, that supplement your faith with goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So what are these attributes? What are these character traits? Let's kind of understand that a little bit deeper. The first one, goodness. Some translations may actually have moral excellence. But this understanding of goodness and moral excellence, what this is being and doing the highest good. The character trait that Peter is challenging with us is to do the highest good, to do the greatest things out there, what we would deem as the most noble things in this world to do. The second one is knowledge. Now, when we say knowledge here, we're not just talking about knowing things or having the knowledge of something. It's something actually deeper than that. It's more about having wisdom and discernment. It's not just knowing the truth, but it's also making decisions based on that truth. The next one, self-control. This is the ability to restrain ourselves from the indulgence of our desires. Endurance. Some translations translate it steadfastness. Some translate it perseverance. But the idea behind it is remaining strong during times of struggle or turmoil, that you stay strong in your faith and stay strong trusting in God. Godliness. This is dealing with our devotion to God, both in our attitude and in our behavior, in the way we act. Next, brotherly affection, or some translations have brotherly kindness. This means showing kindness and generosity and courtesy to others around us. And then the last one is love. Now this word love is the agape love. This is the word, the love that is used by God that he demonstrated to us. It's having and showing a selfless love toward others. It's that self-sacrificial love. It's the love that God displayed to us by sending his son. And it's that love that Jesus died for us even while we were sinners and enemies of God. That's the kind of love that is being talked about here. And so these are the attributes and character that Peter says that we need to be growing in. In many ways, we can actually look at our life and say, do we see these character traits growing inside of us? Do we see the marks of these growths in us? And we can look at these areas and see how we're doing and how we're growing. You know, we must grow. You know, living things grow. Healthy things grow. And when we're growing, then we're doing good and life's moving forward. But if we're not growing, there's a real danger. If we were to see something not growing, we would think that there's something wrong. Maybe that there's a sickness, or maybe there is something problematic, or maybe even dead. So if we're not seeing something grow, there's real danger. And matter of fact, Peter goes on to tell us that there's a real danger of not growing. So look back again in verse 8. And in verse 8 it says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Useless and unfruitful. But if we're not growing, there are chances for us to become useless or unfruitful. There, a lot of times when we become Christians, we're brand new believers, we're baby Christians in the faith, we don't know everything. And because of that, there's a real danger for us because we don't know all the things to be tempted or to be swayed by anything that comes along if we don't know the truth. And so, in matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it talks about infants being tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. There's a danger of baby Christians not knowing things and being swayed by false teachings. And that's kind of what Peter was talking about here. If we're not growing and we're not being fruitful and we're becoming useless, there's a danger of us being attacked by Satan. But it's not just those who are new in the faith. There's also an attack upon us as Christians who are not growing. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but maybe you might be in a season where you're not growing and you feel like you maybe even backslidden a little bit. There's a danger for us as well. If you go on to read here in these next few verses here, it says in verse 9, the person who lacks these things, these qualities, is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. There is a real danger of us forgetting what God has done for us. There's a real danger for us forgetting the truths of the scriptures, and if by not growing, we start lacking and start not seeing that growth and becoming stunt in our growth, we are susceptible to the evil one. There is a real evil one in this world who desires to destroy you, to attack you. There is sin lurking around the corner to allure you and to cause you to stumble and to fall. And if we're not careful and if we're not growing, we're putting ourselves in a position where we can be attacked. I was in college my freshman year, and I got my new taste of freedom, of being out on my own. I was brought up in the church. My parents brought me up in church. I was in church every week. Very, very involved in church. And the church had a huge impact in my life. And I was so thankful growing up in church and growing up in a godly family that taught me the truth of God's word. But when I got out on my own and I started having to make decisions on my own, I found myself that freshman year in college, all of a sudden falling out of some of those habits that I had formed as a student and as a teenager. There was a time in my life when all of a sudden I missed a Sunday. And then that Sunday became two Sundays. And that two Sundays became a month. And it went through a time of where I had fallen out of church for a little while. And I remember my roommates coming to me and was inviting me to come to church. And I remember telling them, I know, I don't think so. I still remember that conversation to this day. And I remember sleeping in on Sunday morning, falling out of the habit of those spiritual habits that my parents had impressed upon me from a very young age. Also from a very young age, my parents tried to teach me to read the word, but it wasn't until really my junior and senior year in high school that I just fell in love with the word of God, that I started reading it daily. And I was really just pouring my heart and my life in there. Matter of fact, in some of my English classes in high school, I'd have the English book and I'd have the Bible in front of it. In my classes, reading the Word of God, because I loved the Word of God so much when I was a teenager. But when I got to college, all of a sudden, the Word of God started becoming less and less, and I had fallen out of the habit of reading God's Word. And it was during this time that I became so vulnerable to sin. I started making relationships and friendships with people that I should have never made friends with. And because of my vulnerability, I made decisions that year that I regret And I made some of the most worst decisions of my life during that first year. And it was because I was in a season of non-growth. Because I had fallen out of the habits of doing the most basic things as a follower and as a disciple of Christ. And when we put ourselves in those positions, we're vulnerable. And there is an enemy that's against you that wants to attack you. The way I think about it is kind of like a sheep, and you got this sheep, and all of a sudden you got this lamb that's kind of drifting apart. You've got a wolf. The Bible describes him as a lion who is looking around for someone to devour, and here you are, you're drifting, and sin and the enemy will attack you if you put yourself in those positions. And because I was in a season of life that I was not practicing and growing in my faith, I was attacked. And I gave into temptation and I gave into trials. But the good news of that story is this, that when I hit rock bottom, God was still there. And in my life, I found out that God was so good and so loving and so forgiving. And not only did he forgive me, he restored me and he brought me back in. And that's the good news about the gospel, and that's the good news about God for all of us. We have not gone too far. Even if there's a time in your life where you have fallen completely away from him, he is there ready to bring you back. He is always looking for his children to bring them home to be with him. He is a good father, a God who loves us and who calls us home. And that's just a good testimony of my story in my life, is that's what God did for me. But the truth of the story is this. If we become stagnant in our faith and in our growing, you're putting yourself up in a situation where you are vulnerable to attacks. And that's why Peter is reminding us that we must grow, that we must put our focus and our faith in his word and growing in the faith and knowledge of him. And the good news is this, is that he didn't leave it all by ourselves to figure out. He gave us, from the very first truth that I talked about, his word, so that we can grow. But we have to make that decision. We are to supply our faith. We are to add to our faith by being in the word and by studying the word and by prayer and through scripture memory and doing the things that a disciple of Christ does. We have a responsibility on our part. God is with us, but we all have that decision every day to make to do that. Our church wants you to grow. We have a passion here at this church to get you to grow in your faith and in your walk with Christ. Every Sunday morning, we meet right here in this room because we want you to come and experience worship together as a church. We want you to sit in this room under the teaching of the Word of God. We want you to hear from the Word of God. We believe in it so much that we do it week after week after week. But we also want you to have other opportunities to grow. So we have Sunday school. Sunday school meets up here every Sunday, and it's a great way for you to come and be a part of a small group where you can get plugged in under the teaching of the Word of God. We also do things throughout the week. We have Disciple Life courses that meet all throughout the weekend on Wednesday. And we would love for you to come be a part of that, because we believe that if you can get into the church and do these things that we're providing for you, it will help you in your spiritual walk. So I encourage you to get involved in those things. But it can't just be here only. It has to be done at home as well. We have that responsibility at home to take up the Word of God, to study it, to spend time in prayer with God. God wants us to spend every day with him. And if we spend time with him in his word and in prayer, God will work in you. It's the fundamentals of Christianity, but it is so important that we take that responsibility to do that so that we can grow, so that we're not susceptible to the evil one. And if we do this, God will grow us, and we'll start seeing these different characters and virtues starting to grow in us and through us. Well, finally, Peter transitions to in verse 10 to a kind of a close for us this morning, with making sure that our calling and our calling is we're confirmed in our calling. If you'll look again with me in verse 10, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble." We are called to make sure that and make every effort to confirm our calling. So how do we confirm our calling? Well, we take a moment and we examine our heart. We got to take a hard look on the inside of us. And we've got to ask ourselves some hard questions. Am I following Jesus today? Am I seeing the character traits and the fruit that has been mentioned here in Scripture? Do I see that being lived out in my life? Am I showing the love and the kindness to those that I'm coming in contact with every day? Do I see that love being displayed? Do I see that generosity? Do I see that faithfulness? And all these different character traits that we talked about, do I see that being displayed in me and through me? That's a great test for us to see if we're really truly growing. We must ask ourselves, are we a student of God's word? Are we studying his word? Are we loving his word? Do we see these things happening in us on a daily basis? And if we do, continue on. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Keep adding. Keep supplying. Keep supplementing your faith. If you need to get involved in a Sunday school class, get involved in a Sunday school class. If you need to get involved in some of our Disciple Life classes, great. If you just need to get some little cards here to carry around with you, whatever it is for you to start in that growing process, make that decision to do that. But maybe you're here this morning and you're like, as I examine my heart and I examine my life, sure, I know the truth. I know about Jesus, but there's not a lot of fruit in my life. You know, I consider myself a good person, but you know what? I don't take my walk with Christ very seriously. I am fearful. I feel like there is danger in my life that I don't know where I would be if I were to die tonight. I hope that I would go to heaven, but I don't know. Well, the good news for you today is this. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. God has given us his word to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can be saved, forgiven of our sins, and we can start that journey today. The Bible is inviting you to come and give your life to Christ and start that growth. And in just a minute, we're gonna have pastors down here at the front, and it will be a great way for you to respond by coming forward and giving your life to Christ, and we'll help you as you get started in that growing process of following Jesus as your Savior and Lord and becoming a disciple of him. Some of you here this morning, you can say, Tim, you know, I've been in church my whole life. I've been here on Sunday morning. I've been here on Wednesday. I've been here doing all the extra Bible studies and curriculums. I've been in all the things that you offer. I read my Bible at home. I pray. I do all these things. I am a good disciple of Christ. And that's great. But there is a lot of people in our church who are young in their faith. We have a whole generation below us who are children and youth and students and young families who need the encouragement and the help of growing in their faith. We need disciplers. We need people to step up and stand out. The scriptures tell us that the workers are always few. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. We need disciplers. We need people to be willing to share their learn with the things that they've learned and where they've grown with the younger generations. And so this morning, what I want to challenge you to do is not just come sit in this room and grow in the knowledge of them, but put that knowledge to work. Share that knowledge with others. We are all called to be disciples and disciple making. We all have that responsibility. And there are people in this church who need to hear it. So my challenge for you is to pray and consider about being used by God to share that knowledge with others. And so this morning, we got things to reflect on and things to think about. And as we think on these things, let the Holy Spirit lead you this morning to the decisions that you need to make.